Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks,
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go!, the brilliant Rob Corddry joins us to talk about neighborhood enemies. And guess what? It's the Max Fun Drive. Go donate now. Okay, listen to some show first. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go!. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Wow, Jordan, are you okay? Your roof is caving in.
Yeah, I am here despite the fact that my house is now filling with water. That's how much I care about this podcast.
Well, you do have that old-timey bailing machine and those two day laborers pumping it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I got them all at the swap meet because I thought it was kind of cute and kitschy. I also got one of those desks where, like, in the 50s, they'd put a telephone. Those were kind of all in like, a bundle.
So, just to clarify, you went down to the swap meet.
Yeah.
You got yourself one of those desks where, in the 50s, you'd put a telephone.
Yeah, there's a little thing underneath for the yellow pages.
You got yourself an old-timey bailing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you got yourself a couple
laborers.
Of day laborers
yeah.
to operate the bailing
right.
machine.
But they're, like, old-time antique day laborers, so they're Irish.
Gotcha.
Just a bunch of drunk mix.
They're working for taters.
Yeah, sure. blight-free taters. That was their condition. Taters cannot have the blight.
You actually did call me 45 minutes yes. before we were set to start recording and said, "Hey, Jesse, it's Jordan. If I'm there late, it's only because a hole just opened up in my roof and there's water pouring through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I might have thought that if I was late, you would just assume it was a J.O. sesh.
Sure.
But yeah,
or
no,
a V.O. sesh.
Right, exactly.
One or the
I
other.
Do.
Get a show business
I try
gig.
And do, I try and, you can do both at the yeah. same time because you can do it from home.
Yeah.
So I like to do a J.O. while I do my, while I record my V.O.
And if you're doing it for a video game, it helps you with the part of the V.O. sesh where you have to do all the sort of grunts and... You know what I'm talking about? Like the operating a gun grunts and
sure.
moving stuff grunts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yeah. My character in Skyrim, that's the only noises he makes. You know, the Skyrim
sexual
guy doesn't talk.
Grunts.
He just goes,
Interesting. Interesting that they... So you're in... I haven't played Skyrim, so the character is just kind of a cipher. They don't talk.
Let's bring our guest into this.
Oh,
we'll
yes,
talk.
Exactly.
We'll talk about this. our guest on the program, of course, one of our most beloved guests on Jordan, Jesse, Go!. You know him as the creator, co-creator and star of the hit television program Children's Hospital. You know him as the star of numerous major motion pictures and television programs. Including...
Some of them involving Kumar.
I was going to say, including one that Jordan worked as a PA on once. His name is Mr. Rob Corddry. Hi, Rob.
I have a lot to say.
Okay.
About
J.O. Sash, V.O. Sash?
Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
No, those little grunts are yeah. called efforts.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
have you done
yeah.
video game stuff before?
I have. I've did New Vegas, New
Fallout. Yeah,
Fallout New Vegas.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm the annoying stand-up that you probably. I haven't played the game, but you probably just want to like skip over if that's even possible.
Yeah,
and just kind of like I'm just going to do my own thing.
I haven't played it, but I the series takes place post-apocalypse, so you are doing like post-apocalyptic stand-up
yes.
material.
Yeah. Well, no, it's. I don't remember. I was super scared.
Right.
First of all, I had
yeah,
no
yeah.
idea what I was getting myself into.
I mean, this is one of the most prestigious projects you've ever been involved with.
Yeah, the Fallout thanks for asking. The Fallout. yeah, but it's the scariest thing in the world to have to not scary so much as it is just annoying to record efforts.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Because you're just sitting there and there's a producer and for a half an hour you're going,
That's,
and they're actually
what
like,
are you I mean,
cut.
What are you doing like I know you're a method actor from the, you know, that school of acting. What are you, what kind of sense memory are you experiencing?
Well, right. So I am more of a, from the Mammoth School, the Atlantic Theater program, and they believe in physical first. And so this gets to the beginning of what you were saying.
So that's easier than actually pushing a giant crate.
Well, conveniently, actually. I mean, I've worked with Rob a little bit as an engineer. He came over here and recorded a couple of sessions with me.
Oh, okay.
He can't get hard unless he's pushing a crate.
So, oh, wow.
That's an interesting part of this. So, yes, I was technically pushing a crate.
With one hand.
Yeah.
J-O-ing with the other.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretending to shoot a really heavy gun.
Which is actually easy when he's got his, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's the thing too, and I've gotten so good at this, I don't have to use my hands to J.O. I use my mind.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that, like, because you read The Secret. Is that part of The Secret?
It's Secret-esque.
I put that on my board. I made a board.
A vision board.
And I just drew a picture of me.
Right.
Masturbating without hands.
I read The Secret, and I read that How to Pick Up Girls.
The
book.
Game.
I read The Secret and The Game at the same time, and that's how I learned how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a, it was kind of like an alchemy project, like taking some stuff from The Game, taking some stuff from The Secret, and kind of mixing it together to the point where you can shoot loads without touching your dong.
Yeah. Technically speaking.
Okay.
You know, it was really like I've become sort of a Jedi master. I'm just lucky to have read those two books at once because that was my big aha moment. My eureka moment.
Right.
I would not have. I'd be still jacking off with my left hand to make it interesting. Like you
still have to deal with
plebeians.
You still have to deal with the chafing.
That's the first time I've even thought of the word chafing.
I bet you're saving a lot on lotions.
No, I still love rubbing lotions all over my dick, but it has nothing to do with jacking off.
Gotcha.
Just keeping things supple.
Yeah, skin is very important. I'm 41 years old.
Sure.
And shit could get ashy.
My dick is, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I actually, Jordan, didn't you read The Game?
I did read
The Game. What happened is I booked Neil Strauss, the author of The Game, was at the time that he wrote The Game still a music critic for the New York Times. And I thought he was a very interesting music critic for the New York Times. I thought he did a good job. And so when that game book came out, this was when we were still doing The Sound of Young America at UC Santa Cruz. I think this was after you graduated, Jordan, but I was still doing The Sound of Young America at UCSC, and The Game came out, and I thought, well, that's a really interesting subject for the guy who's the music critic of the New York Times to take on. And when you start reading the book, and a lot of times when I'm trying to decide whether to book a guest, I'll start reading the book. I don't read the whole book before I decide whether to book them because I can't read every book that comes through. But you start reading the book, it's sort of like it's a very kind of experiential journalism kind of like, what's going on with these weirdos? Tone that the book takes in the early going. And I thought, yes, this is a weird thing that I'm interested in hearing this journalist that I trust. I'm interested in hearing his opinion about this odd, sad world. So I booked him on the show. And I will say now that he was, when he was on the show, just a super pleasant, nice guy. Couldn't have been nicer. However, and the book is a very well-written book, which I think was part of why it was so successful. Mm-hmm. However, that tone starts off with him being like, you know what? And this is a book about pickup artists for anyone who hasn't learned about this phenomenon yet. He sort of starts off with the tone where it's going to be like, I'm going to see what makes these guys tick. And then maybe 50 pages in, I think what happens is he looks at these guys and thinks, holy shit, I have found a subculture where A, there's money to be made, and B, the level of charisma inherent in being a newspaper pop music critic makes me a 10 out of 10 on the charisma scale. I can become the king of these people. And so he just does.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's totally compelling. I agree. Do you, like, knowing that that's the kind of second act of the book, would you have booked him otherwise?
I would have been uncomfortable booking him otherwise. Okay. I mean, I might have because, I mean, the thing about it is he is an excellent writer and it's a compelling book the whole way through. I mean, he also by the time he wrote that book, he had famously co-written like a Motley Crue guy's autobiography.
Yeah, yeah.
That was famous for being one of the greatest ghost-written rock and roll autobiographies ever because he really nailed the ridiculous salaciousness of being a Motley Crue guy. I think it was a Motley Crue guy. It might have been a Def Leppard guy.
I think it was Motley Crue.
Okay, yeah. Great. So, and it was obvious that he had just written the entire thing and the Motley Crue guy had had nothing to do with it other than saying like, oh, one time I fucked this. And
like, fax me a list of things you fucked.
Yeah. Things you snorted.
Yeah, right.
Things you fucked and yeah. places you've slept.
And I'll put them into a compelling pastiche.
And things Ozzy did.
Right. I'm gonna fax you a diagram of a person. You circle the various parts of your body and then do an arrow saying what you put into that part, and then I will write a book.
But it's amazing, isn't it, Jordan? You've read this book. Isn't it amazing how the tone turns when he realizes not only that he can use these mind tricks to get laid, mm-hmm. but also that he can become the king of these sad men.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, I mean, again, he is such a good writer, and it always is, you know, this is something that I don't want to say could be in the New Yorker, but certainly would be the best thing in an issue of Esquire.
Right.
Like, it would be easily the best thing in an issue of Esquire. Yeah.
It's the tone, despite the salaciousness, he keeps the tone relatively classy. He doesn't shy away from the salaciousness later on, especially.
Yeah. But is it always a sort of, he treats it sort of like this is an experiment I'm on, or this is, I'm approaching this, I'm crushing all this pussy as a journalist.
Until he starts having these like four ways and stuff, like three quarters of the way through.
What's the whole, no, what's the, in a nutshell, what is the science? What is his, what's his whole
A very
secret?
Important part of it is learn a magic trick.
Oh my God.
That's the best way to, that's the best thing to approach a woman with is like a sleight of hand magic trick. Women are like 4-year-olds, so just pull a quarter out of their ear. And there's a lot of, that's like kind of the simple angle of it. And then there's a lot of like lie scenarios that you ask a girl to help you with. Like, you find a couple of pretty girls and you're like, hey, there's a lot of like, we've got a bet going over there. Like, that's the big thing. It's like, we've got a bet going over there. My friend just got 2 goldfish and we want to name them after an 80s pop group. What should we name the goldfish? And then, you know, you kind of set up this fun scenario. But then there's like some low-level hypnotism, and that's kind of like...
The big tension is between the people who have figured out these systems to talk to a lot of women while creeping a relatively low percentage of them out. So that's like, that's the relatively less creepy group of people. And those people are a little bit creepy. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But many of them are just sad guys who are socially awkward and they have a hard time talking to girls anyway. And this gives them some tools to talk to a lot of girls in a way that is less likely to upset girls. Like, for example, going up to them and saying, I've got a bet going with my buddies. Would you do this or this? Which is a way of talking to people without making them think that you're creeping them out, without being aggressive, essentially.
Right.
And so there's that. But then, there's this other part. There's this other branch of it. And that goes further and further down the line and gets more and more creepy, to be frank. But then there's this other part, which involves fucking mind trick hypnotism type shit. And that is bad.
Like,
and
what,
now, Neil Strauss was against that. He's against that. But the distinction gets finer and finer the further down the one way, the good way you go. The distinction between the good way and the bad way gets less and less distinct.
I think that the whether or not you agree with the hypnotism, the thesis seems to be women are easily tricked.
Women like to be fooled.
Sure,
it seems what you're saying.
Deception.
Like the magic trick being the most reductive
right.
example of that.
But like, yeah, everything is kind of has that same concept. Is
they there? Will they will welcome trickery.
Right, exactly. Okay. With open legs.
Yeah, anyway, the book, I mean, the book is genuinely bizarre. And he went on to a career as, and again, when he was on the show, I mean, I found him to be a really interesting, bright, charming guy.
Who's you probably, fucked him. You wanted to have
I
sex
mean,
with
I mean, I sucked his dick.
I mean, you pulled that quarter out of your ear. What are you supposed to do? Wait. Not suck his dick?
Yeah. What was it? Where was the court? How did it get behind my ear?
Yeah. There's a Rob, I don't know if you've been here. There's a place in LA called the Magic Castle.
Go ahead.
It is a castle, a castle-like building, and
it's magical. It has magical powers. Sure. You start to tingle it appears, when you go through
it
the
It appears
door.
Once every uh-huh. year when a dense fog rolls out. No, this is a place that you need kind of a special invite mm-hmm. to get into. And it's like, you know, kind of this fancy steakhouse, but there are rooms where different kinds of magic are being mm-hmm. performed. There's like a sleight of hand room, mm-hmm. and then there's kind of, you know, but then you can kind of see like a theatrical, you know, Chris Angel type, mm-hmm. you know, goth bullshit show. And then there's, you know, like dad's goofy magician friend. But, you know, it's kind of this weird thing. And I swear to God, I go there and I tell myself, just don't go into the coat closet with one of these guys. You're just going to get hurt. And every fucking time I do it, I end up in the cloakery with one of these fucking magicians.
But you're all, now that I'm putting two and two together, you are always at magic shops.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You are always at magic shows. Yes. You're taking a magic you're teaching a magic workshop on Saturdays.
I am, yes.
At the Y.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's, you know, just at kind of a community service. I know, I need to just get away from magic entirely, but oh, it's so hard.
You got to separate yourself from these magic gatherings.
I do. I know. I just, you know what I need to do? I just need to meet a nice non-magician, just, I don't know, like, you know, just talk to some friends of friends, maybe get online, and then, you know, down the line after we've had a healthy relationship and maybe we trust each other, I could just ask her for the wand in the butt. And then I could still have some of that.
Do you guys like men? Do you like men?
I do, Rob. Jesse, where's your cloakroom?
You put the wand in the butt, and then you start sending out them scarves.
Them hankies. Those were all in my butt.
What
are those noises called, Rob?
Efforts.
Efforts. Those are some great efforts.
Great efforts. We're going to have you do it again, Jesse. Just move around a little bit more. Actually, like, jump, bounce up and down while you're doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Rob, how
like,
do you...
really make the listener think that scarves are coming out of your butt.
Rob, how do you feel about magic, just on a personal level? Not necessarily sexually, but there are some people who enjoy it and some people who do not like it at all.
I have a natural, I think, aversion to it philosophically.
You have a natural gift for close-up magic.
I feel like it's kind of like, well, it's like prop comedy, basically. It's just kind of like a, you know, but whenever I see it, I'm absolutely 100% involved. I love it. I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. Sleight of hand is great. Like, I've always wanted to go to the Magic Castle.
It's a ton of fun. Yeah. You should do it. It's at once the classiest and tackiest place you'll ever be in your life.
And they say, like, and you know, everybody that has been there is like, you know, you gotta know somebody to get in. But apparently, like, everybody but me has been there. It's not a hard place to get into.
All I know really about the Magic Castle is I was once talking to our MaximumFun.org colleague, John Hodgman. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he was turned away from the Magic Castle. I want to say maybe it was after the Emmys or something. But anyway, it was at some time when he was wearing a suit and tie, but sneakers, and he got turned away for wearing sneakers.
Yeah. The first time I went, I was wearing sneakers and then had to drive home and get non-sneakers. Oh, they are that hardline about it.
Now, here's the thing. This is also a place that will allow Penn Jillette to come in just at any time.
You can have a ponytail. Yeah. Really, what's worse, a man with a ponytail or a man with sneakers?
You can vote for Ron Paul whenever you want, but please, no sneakers.
Ponytails are a necessity for a magician, though, I think. Like,
yeah, well, that's where you hide your extra cards.
Yeah, a lot of them have them.
Your bonus cards. Magic upsets me. Magic sincerely upsets me. I get angry because I don't like people trying to trick me. And I don't understand why I would want to pay someone to trick me. Like, Look, I know that other people have this capacity for wonder that they can engage when they see a magic show. But if I see someone doing magic, I'm like, oh, stop fucking tricking me. And the thing is, I can't figure out what's happening because the man is a professional magician. You know what I mean? I'm not a professional magician. I don't know how he does the magic tricks. I don't want to have to get so deep involved in it that I figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Then he wins.
I did that once. I got upset, you know, when David Blaine was first on television. It was amazing. His first, I mean, he's a joke now, but his first special or whatever was really incredible. Like, apparently people have been doing those magic tricks for years, but that was the first time a mass audience had seen them, like the levitation trick. And I knew he was a comedian magician and very funny and very good, named Magic Brian. And he'd workshop that name for a while, and he just came up that that was like tested really well.
He went with a corporate name consultant.
He was Brian the Magic Gentleman.
Yeah.
Seemed a little wordy.
A lot of iterations. Sure. But this one seemed the simplest, and it, you know, in the 18 to 34 demographic, I believe.
Alestro was also something.
yeah. And he went with
David
Copperfield.
He could also in some way use that name to sell Pepsi Max. Dr. Pepper 10.
But he was so pissed. And I actually went to a magic store and to look for that levitation trick. And of course, those guys are like comic book store guys times 100.
Sure.
They fucking hate you the second you walk in there.
Sure.
If they don't already know you and you've spent thousands of dollars. Because that's all people do, is that magicians go to those stores and they just buy a trick. They'll buy a great trick for like $3,000.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
Who do you think has more sex, the comic book store guys or the magic store guys? I guess like comic book fan, I guess there's, you know, the kind of there's the Comic Cons and the Ren Fairs that maybe.
Yeah, and you kind there of, are girls at comic book stores. I mean, it's like sure. 4 to oh, yeah. 1, but there are girls at comic book stores.
I think,
especially now in the age of manga.
Mm-hmm.
I have a half-thought-out theory.
Sure.
That all of those.
Rob, that's too much. If you could make that a, if you could like bump that down to a quarter.
If let me say, blacks and Mexicans are crazy, and the Irish are always drunk,
and that's all I have. Now you tell me how much of a full thought this
sure,
is.
Sure, sure.
But that all of that shit, that subculture, sort of, you know, comic book and like, you know, a fantasy, you know, and even, you know, audiophiles and anything that has sort of a subcategory of conventions. You know, it's not a major convention, but it is. They meet every year, and it's all about fucking.
Yeah, that's Jordan's. This is a running theme on our program.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Yes. What are you people doing at this thing? And why won't you invite me? And why won't you own up to the fact that that's what you're doing?
Yeah.
These are the three principal questions I have about subculture gatherings.
So you have a lot of resentment.
Yes. Oh,
it's gotten past just curiosity.
Absolutely.
You've bumbled your way into the secret sex party theory.
Yeah.
Jordan's signature theory.
There's always a sex party going on?
Yes, exactly.
That I'm not invited to,
and no one will talk about it, but yeah. I know it's going on.
Jordan did once get invited to a secret sex party that takes place regularly outside of Seattle.
No.
Yes, that's true.
Did you go?
No, I mean, I haven't had cause to go to Seattle, but, you know, if I'm, you know... If there's anyone in Seattle who needs a comedy writer or performer for a weekend, I am available for road shows.
I imagine they're not all there. What our imagination makes them out to be.
Yeah, I'm not so much at this point. I'm not so much interested in it for the sex. I just want to say I told you so. I just want to see. I told you you were doing this. I knew about it. But actually, the one in Seattle, we had a listener that called in to kind of describe when he went to. It was didn't seem to be affiliated with a proper subculture. I mean, I know that is a subculture, but it didn't seem to involve costumes. And those are the ones I'm mainly curious about.
Oh, yeah.
About.
Now, that would be fun, I think.
For sure.
You'd have to wear a full-on mask and not, you know, my wife and I, years and years ago, there was this, you know, in Tribeca in New York, there's a triangle building where I think like the Gansevoort Hotel is or something. Mm-hmm. And there used to be a sex club or like a, I don't even know what it was, man, but we stumbled in there one night, half by accident. Yeah. We were wasted.
Okay, just you were just kind of looking for another bar that was open.
No, we were like, this would be funny, you know. This is, you know, I will admit that I was like, yeah, it'll be a gas. I'm gonna get her into a sex club. And we walked in there, and we're like, oh my god, it's gonna be so ironic. Yeah. And it turned out to be, it was horrifying. We were in for about, well, not horrifying. So it was about 2 minutes.
Sure.
And there was one other woman in the whole, there was sawdust on the floor.
Oh my.
One other woman in the whole place.
Everybody vomiting. It's like at a carnival.
That, you know, happened probably after like 2 a.m.
Oh no.
They were full of guys in very thick serial killer glasses with t-shirts on, but no pants, jacking off their flaccid penises and like, just kind of wandering around like they were just kind of expressionless and like just bumping into things. That's my impression. I'm sure it was different, but like,
A slow night, or is that supposed to be what's going on? Is that what people go to like do? To meander and jack?
Like a soft, sort of salacious Mr. Magoo.
There was one other woman there, and she was in a swing being spanked.
Okay.
But once my wife walked in, who's, you know, very attractive and not like when these guys, because I'm sure the ratio's not good any night at a sex club like that, right? It's still all dudes mostly. And they're like, oh my God, it happened. We were here the night that she walked in. And they just, they come over to her like they were just kind of standing near us, jacking off. And we just took off. It was horrifying.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It was mackerel.
Wild. It was wild.
Well, we're not going to top that. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Rob Corddry, celebrity to the stars.
Yes. That's why the man,
like a redundant nickname.
That's Ooh. Why the man. That's why the man is a show business success story.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people think that it's because of his good looks or his talent. Mm-hmm. No, it's because of shit like
my
that.
My mother and my wife.
Yeah.
Like that.
Hey, guess wow. what?
I'm
guess
spent, what, Jordan. After that. I'm spent.
Yeah, you know what? Rob, take five.
That's all I got.
No.
Guys, I'm useless from now on.
We would be Whew. Cruel to expect anything else from you. Whew. That would be unreasonable.
Jordan, Max Fun Drive.
Yes.
Hello.
Is currently now.
So this is the deal. Jordan Jesse Go and all of the shows at MaximumFun.org are supported by listeners. That means people like you. Or that guy sitting next to you, assuming that he's also listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his headphones in. He's probably what he's listening to, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're at a New York sex club, he's dead-eyed jacking
Wait,
off.
Wait, do I owe you guys money?
Yes. Yes, that's what this is about.
Fair enough.
That's why we brought you in here.
You know what? It's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll do it.
But almost all of our expenses, like 75-80% of our budget, comes from donations from people like you. It's what pays my salary and Jordan's salary and pays for all of our equipment and pays for our producers and our staff and our office space and our microphones and all of that shit comes from people who listen to the show and then say, this is worth a couple bucks a month to me.
Sure.
And this is our first of only two Max Fun Drive Jordan Jesse Go episodes. We'll have one more next week, but there's really no excuse not to just get on this and go to MaximumFun.org/donate and give right now.
Apparently, we have prizes.
Oh, do we have fucking prizes?
Yeah.
Do we have fucking prizes? Holy shit, Jordan. Well, last year we...
I said we had prizes. Why are you mad?
Well, you've been fucking my wife.
No.
This is the story with prizes. Number one, we have recorded an entire episode of Jordan Jesse Go that is only accessible to donors. Our friend Chris Fairbanks came in, one of our most beloved guests, and we answered questions, life questions, and gave straight talk for a solid 100 minutes of entertaining talk that's only available to people who join at the $5 a month or more level.
Can I just say something about the episode we recorded?
Yes.
Shit gets real.
Yeah, shit gets really real.
Yeah.
Anytime you put Fairbanks in a room and start asking him how other people should run their lives, that guy's barely got a handle on his life. you know, so shit is gonna get real.
Yeah, it's a really funny, really intense episode, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and we also have created our second or third short film, our Rift short film.
Mm-hmm.
This one is on the subject of posture.
Mm-hmm.
It is a
subject near and dear to our hearts.
A 10-minute short film from the 1950s that we have riffed, sort of Mystery Science Theater 3000 style, that only donors at the $5 a month or more level can watch.
No puppets. We should say that if people are expecting puppets.
No, there are absolutely no puppets because we don't know how to do that.
No.
We have no technical skills at all. In fact, arguably, we have no skills of any kind.
Mm-hmm. We should be dead.
I can barely boil pasta. So that's what you get at $5 or more per month. $10 or more a month, you become a friend of the family, and you get our Maximum Fun Friendship Bracelet. We're having a company make MaximumFun.org friendship bracelets and sending them out to everybody who gives a $10 a month or more. $20 a month or more is the Diamond Friendship Circle. These are all friends themed this year, by the way, Jordan.
Mm.
By which I mean themed based on the 1990 sitcom Friends.
Sure.
It has, if you give 20 or more a month, you get a stainless steel water bottle.
like from the Friends theme song? Remember how there's claps?
With the Maximum Fun rocket chip on it, as well as all of the other stuff. All of these are cumulative.
Sure.
Just so you know. $35 per month is my favorite level. It is the friendship emergency kit level. We have put together this amazing friendship emergency kit for, you know, just any time when some friendship is about to go down, but you're ill-prepared. It has in it, among other things, some super ultra fancy coffee from our friends at Tonks.
Mm-hmm.
Tonks do this thing where they take special coffees from all around the world and mail them to you once a month, that kind of thing that my wife does and is completely obsessed with. So we have coffee for you to share with your friend. We have Kashi Good Friends cereal. because I think that all friendships are built on a foundation of...
being interracial lesbians.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say fiber, but dietary fiber.
I just checked out for a minute. I was reading your guest book, and
sure.
I just came in on that.
Hey, feel free to check out again. It's not going to get any better than that. That's I've peaked, Rob. You peaked earlier with your nickname.
I panicked for a minute too. I was like, oh God, I gotta have what? Are we still on the drive?
Yeah.
There's even more cool stuff.
How long has it been?
There's even more cool stuff.
I've been out for a half hour.
You can see everything that you can
get. I have a beard now.
Oh, no.
My beard.
I failed them.
You can see everything you can get at MaximumFun.org/donate. $50 a month, you get all of that shit. Plus, I personally bake blondies and FedEx them to your door. That is
Are
real.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not fucking kidding
you. Can I say some of these fucking people?
Yeah.
Can I say some of these people?
Yeah. Rob, would you?
You got to... $5 a month, I mean, of course, that's not Blondie level, right? But I mean, that's like, I believe, you know what I hate is when people say, oh, I'm not buying that app on iTunes. It's like $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to pay for good things, right?
Right.
You want to pay if you use it and you like it, you should pay for it, right?
I
mean, you fucking people are spending $700 a year at least on cable.
Here comes
Cordry.
And you
never watch it.
Here comes Cordry.
You watch the first baseball game of the season from your favorite team, and that's it until the World Series.
That is what you do.
And that is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You listen to this show every fucking week. MaximumFun.org/donate. $100 you get invited to a very special Max Fun dinner. It's the night before Max Fun Con.
So mad.
Lots of our special people from Max Fun Con come to this dinner, including you, Jordan. Mm-hmm. You're there every year. Hodgman's there every year. A lot of our special guests from Max Fun Con are there every year. And if you give $200 a month, you are our special guest at Max Fun Con. So it's all online at MaximumFun.org/donate.
And if you're rich, if you're rich,
oh, if you're a rich guy,
and if you're right now, you're listening right now, you're rich, you're never going to have a problem with money ever again.
Mm-mm.
Just write a check for like $5,000.
Just do it.
It's going to make you feel so right.
Just pull your Beamer over to the
don't piss him off.
Oh yeah,
don't piss this guy off. This guy, we got him. We almost have him.
You're a master closer.
Yeah, I got it.
That's why you got that coffee, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you're never going to think about it again.
Anyway, it's all super easy. It's online at MaximumFun.org/donate. And the answer is just fucking do it. Don't think about doing it. Don't put off doing it. We give you this show and all of our shows for free. And all we ask is if you think they're worth a little bit of money, just fucking kick us a little bit of money. MaximumFun.org/donate. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Corddry, celebrity to the stars.
I am developing an enemy in my neighborhood. They don't know this yet, and I have not yet met them. Yeah. But there is, so I walk my...
It's that asshole putting up those lost cat posters. I mean, come on, those are an eyesore.
I live in the most sort of like low-key neighborhood in Los Angeles. Like there's really no, I have no beef with anyone in my entire neighborhood for any reason. No one is noisy. No one, there's no problems here at all. No one is a dick. No one is like telling people, other people how to grow their lawns or whatever it is that rich people do to each other.
There's a lot of people strolling, and every time I park to walk up to the house, if there's someone strolling, they always say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's a very,
very nice,
very pleasant place, except for this one house. And one of my dogs is scared of other dogs, and the other one is little and feisty. And so it is our like goal in life to not get too involved with other dogs while they're walking. And if we keep walking and the other dog keeps walking on a dog walk, it's no problem. Our dogs will keep going. Their dog will keep going. You know, and it took a lot of work to get to that point with the feisty one, but we're there.
So stressful.
There's this house that is so perplexing to me. And it's not just because they have recently introduced an enormous snarling German Shepherd. Like, what? This is not a neighbor. What the fuck? Like, this is the kind of dog, I swear to God, this is the kind of dog from a cartoon where someone throws a steak in one direction and then runs the other direction. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Not only do they have this fucking horrifying dog, but their house is on a corner, and it's kind of a long corner. And so the dog can snarl all the way around the house. And it's basically can go for a city block snarling and throwing itself.
Terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. It is genuinely terrifying. I'm not even scared of dogs, and this dog is terrifying. It is just flinging itself at the fence, you know. And it's a fucking big-ass German Shepherd. These people also have a Bentley that they park on the street. I don't live in a Bentley neighborhood.
No.
What? And who parks a Bentley on the street? Who are these people?
Wouldn't it be funny if the dog was driving the Bentley? So, like if maybe he had a little chauffeur's cap on?
Maybe that's the people. It's just the dog.
Yeah,
have you ever seen anybody go in the house?
That dog could be heir to the Rin Tin Tin fortune.
You don't, this is Hollywood, man.
If that was the case, I would forgive the dog because that is fucking awesome. If the dog had bought a Bentley and the reason it was parked on the street is because dogs can't drive and they just dropped it off on the street in front of his house when he bought it.
Yeah.
Like that would be great. But who the fuck has a Bentley that they park on the street in front of their house, right?
I bet the dog is also married to a cat, and he had to move away from his family who doesn't approve.
And that's why he's so mad all the time.
I know, exactly. Because society doesn't approve of his love.
My family is on my ass. Mm-hmm. This cat, like, I married a cat. That just the inherent problems with
they're
that.
They're high maintenance. They're
it's
a handful.
It's just going to be hard.
These
sure.
people have a $190,000 car, and inside their garage, which they sometimes leave the garage door open, inside their garage, it's like one of those garages where there's that weightlifting equipment.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I'm talking about? Like just yeah. a sort of sad, abandoned weightlifting equipment. Mm. Like not even with the belts. Just
there's like a lot of folded towels on it, like from the laundry machine, yeah. the dryer right
And
next
really,
to
you can't make room for your Bentley in there because you do have a Bentley.
No, I'm going to shred my abs one of these days.
Yeah, well, a late model Bentley. Their cars are, this is the cars they have at this house. They have a Bentley. They have four cars at this house, all of which they park on the street. So they have a Bentley. They have a matte black Mini Cooper, which is
matte
like,
black.
What more badass car is there right. to paint matte black than a Mini Cooper?
Sure. That's Batman's car for when he's just tooling around on the weekend.
Yeah.
That's Alfred's car.
Right, yeah, sure, exactly.
And two 60s Ford Mustangs, which I maintain wow, is wow. the official classic car of an asshole.
Yep.
Like, just a dope.
It was my favorite classic car of all time until I moved to LA. Until, I was like, oh, this is a douchebag car.
11.
This is a douchebag car. I'm a bad person.
But you just assumed that whenever that car was present, there was a woman in a kind of a skimpy one-piece bathing suit laying on top of it.
There is nothing I am more biased against than the Ford Mustang. Mm. Like, I don't care about Fords. It's not a thing where I'm like a Chevy guy or something like that. I just think that Ford Mustang, it's like the Ed Hardy of classic cars. I think classic cars are great. I think they're tremendous. But if you get a Mustang,
that's
like,
so
show me
funny.
Something. Like, have an idea.
Here's something I was disappointed
wow.
with. I did one of my last things I did for Fuel TV before the show got canceled was they had some sort of ad partnership with Ford. And I did a thing where I went to kind of an area near Detroit and did like some like crazy driving on some Ford cars. I guess they're trying to make Fords more appealing to young people.
Uh-huh.
And so I did drifting in a Mustang, and I did like an intro by the car, and I had to retake it because Ford doesn't like it when you call it a Stang. Apparently that's not part of their new branding, is someone calling it a Stang. I thought that was the point of having a Mustang.
Just to call it a Stang.
Oh, this is my Stang.
Come on, at least get a GTO, right? If you're going to get an uncomfortable, somewhat homely, not that fast muscle car.
That you can't really fit a good radio into.
Yeah, like if you're going to get a home, at least get one that's not the one that everyone else already has,
yeah,
right?
See, that's the thing. But it's all over LA. You can't, every stoplight there's a
yes.
classic 64 or 5 Mustang.
The only thing that's sadder than a 64 or 65 Mustang is a 2011 Mustang. Or even worse, like a 2006
Mustang. To be fair, you can drift in them if you're looking to drift.
I don't know what drifting is.
Oh, that's Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious 3?
No.
Okay. It is when you...
Bow Wow? Have you ever heard of Bow Wow?
Oh, now I know what drifting
okay.
is.
Okay, ludicrous.
Ludicrous Bridges.
Got it. It's when you turn the car sharply in one direction and then in another direction to make it go sideways as far as you can. And the goal is to make it go travel sideways for the longest distance. And I drifted when we did this thing. I drifted further than anyone else. They had like other guys from like car websites do it.
Uh-huh.
I drifted further than anyone else, and I attribute it to this. When I was talking, they had like a drifting expert teaching you. And so he's explaining this to me. I'm like, wait, is this kind of like power sliding in Mario Kart? And he said, yes, it's exactly like power sliding in Mario Kart. And then I won the drifting contest. Video games are valuable. I am not wasting my time.
You know what? That came up for me the other day when I had to make a potion of regenerate health. And there was some lavender and some wheat on hand.
Some wheat?
And I happened to find myself in alchemy station.
Rob, do you feel like having worked on Fallout New Vegas, you could survive the apocalypse now? Because there's practical application to all this stuff.
To be fair, I always felt like I could survive an apocalypse. So I think that's maybe why... I brought that to
I haven't had an enemy in my neighborhood since this woman named Mrs. Love, who used to live next door to me on Guerrero Street in San Francisco. And Mrs. Love was like an elderly African-American woman who I was realizing this, like there was so many people in my neighborhood growing up who dressed like it was 1978. Just that was the main form of dress, like 40%.
I forgot you guys aren't my age for a second. I'm like, wasn't it 1978?
No. I'm talking about in 1987.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. And 1988, 1989. And I realized, like, at some point in my life, I realized, oh, those people were just winos. And some of them were junkies. But winos and junkies.
But some of them were time travelers.
Yeah. And they just...
Please say that.
They just don't make...
Who were also on drugs. To be fair, these were...
They just don't make winos like they used
Smack
to.
Smack addicted.
You know
time
what I mean?
Travelers.
Like, there's just not the volume of crackheads, winos, and junkies that you used to have in the inner city. But Mrs. Love was the other category, which is elderly African-American people... Who all, as a community, got together, I think, and decided to they were going to stay pressed, like they were going polyester. They were like, "This is great,
stay pressed.
This is colorful, this is energetic."
I experienced this phenomenon. I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast, but I'll sum it up real quick. There is a roller rink here, kind of near Watts, and they have a over 25 night.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it starts at like 9 o'clock, and it's actually like an over 50 night.
That's right.
It's like roller.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yes, and everyone is that person you're talking about, and they do fucking impressive roller skate moves. It's really kind of amazing. These people, and most of them are not in good shape, but can do kind of amazing things on roller skates. So, yes,
Mrs. Love once said to my mom in front of me. About our dog, Sonoma, I'm going to poison and kill that dog. Which my mom had to explain to me was just an expression. Until later, when I grew up, I realized, wait, that's not just an expression. She was actually threatening to kill
my
dog.
That is a literal threat.
Yeah, so I haven't had a neighborhood enemy since Mrs. Love.
Wow.
You
were trying to use that expression in just everyday conversation. Like when you're haggling with someone, you're like, well, I might have to poison this dog and kill it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say. You got to poison the dog and kill it.
If you want to kill it.
Black lady in my neighborhood named Mrs. Love. And she taught me something real important.
This is from your one-man show, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to poison the dog and kill it.
I think in my neighborhood, I think... Because we just bought a house a couple years ago. It's our first house we own. And I think we might be the crazy people.
Mm. Oh.
We might be the assholes. Because we have these people next to us. They've been there since the 80s. Yeah. And they're busybodies. They know everything that's going on the block. And they have... It's like Game of Thrones, basically. They've got – this is the – they're in that realm, and they're like – it's – you know, there's seven realms, and they want us to be on their side. Yep. And there's a guy next door who might be a meth head, and he likes giving my daughters Japanese anime and stuff. So, it's weird. So we're – you know, we tend to err on the side of the crazy old couple. But they said we had a – We had an oversized fence, apparently, when we bought the house. And they told us right off. They said, well, you know, that fence is oversized. And we're like, well, okay, I don't know what that means. And then we got a summons for it. We had to take it down. It cost us like $5,000 to take the fence down. And the guy told us you have to be turned in for something like that. So we knew it was them that turned us in, right? So long story longer, my wife sent me an email. She, the woman next door, sent my wife an email saying, you know, these people down the block are doing construction, so watch your car or whatever. And, you know, it just painted her as a busybody. And my wife said, she sent me an email saying, she forwarded that email to me saying, you know, this proves that it was that know-it-all cunt that turned us in for the overhyped fence, sent it to her instead of me.
Oh, no.
Next door house, 8 feet away from mine.
And they still, you guys are still neighbors?
Well, it almost proves that they did turn us in for the fence because I think they see it as sort of a leveling of the playing field in the Game of Thrones. Okay. You know, right.
A Lannister always pays his debts.
Lannister always pays his debts. You know, so they're like, oh, no, it wasn't us, but, you know, we're good now. We're
okay,
good
yeah,
now, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So they kind of, they respected your strong position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, we are kind of cunts. We were behaving cuntish.
Yeah, well, Gary can be a cunt. Not me so much.
No,
but,
no,
yeah.
No. I can be a snatch, certainly. But a cunt?
No.
That's Gary's territory.
I find myself wanting to take vigilante action against this house with the terrifying dog and the Mustangs and the Bentley. I don't know.
Don't do it.
I want to start shit. I've never
What's your plan in a fantasy world where decorum does not exist? What are you going to do to these Bentley people?
Fucking, I don't know. That's why I'm coming to you guys. You're more creative than I am.
Well, you know what? You know what they say. You know, you got to poison the dog
right?
and kill
yeah.
it. Well, I did the same people next door.
Yeah.
You'll regret vigilante work, I think.
Yeah.
There was a car parked a little bit in front of my driveway, and it wasn't that much in the way. I can get my car around it, but it makes my wife so mad. And so I was like, it made me mad too for some reason. I don't care. It didn't make any difference in my life.
Well, you had to protect your children.
But from this car that's 3 feet in front of my driveway. So what I did was, I'm going to show them because it's just those little tiny injustices.
So you
just
got in your Bentley.
Get me burned. I got back in my Bentley.
The Bentley or the Stang?
No, I got my German Shepherd. We moved in right down the street, by the way.
Right.
You might know the people I'm talking about.
You saddled him up.
I rode him to the sixth realm. I took the biggest sticker I could find in one of my daughter's sticker books, and I wrote a note on the sticky side saying, I forget what, like, you know, this is your car's in my driveway. It's lucky my wife wasn't home.
This was like a Lisa Frank unicorn sticker or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was a big fucking kitty. And I stuck it on the windshield right in front of where her face was. Driver's
terrific.
Face would be. And I'm like, I got, so that's gonna, they're gonna have to get a widget and get it out. And
razor blade. They
get their razor blade and I show them. Then I heard, whoop, whoop. And it was the woman next door that we called the cunt. And she was like, hey. And I was like, oh my God. I am so sorry. Here's the story. And she could not be cooler about it.
Wow.
She's like, it was only here for like 10 minutes. It's our friend's car.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta put a sticker on it.
She's like, no. And I was like, luckily it just peeled right off, which kind of defeated the purpose of it. It was supposed to be really hard to get off. But that's like just, I feel like we did something. But that's two things we've done to them.
And Rob, I don't need to be the one to tell you this, but you're a celebrity. You're in film and television.
Yeah.
People are writing to Page Six about this.
Yeah. She's writing at least to the city council about fences. She's a... you know, the guy also, every time he corners me all the time, he's a writer. He always corners me. He says, hey, you know what you should do? An updated version of Mr. Mom.
He wants you to write this or star in it?
Maybe he's trying to get me back for being an asshole to him.
He's just like, pitching you bad movie projects.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
That would actually probably sell.
I'll devote 2 years to that.
You know
like, I'll get him into this. He'll devote 2 years to it. It'll fail. He'll have to move out because he won't be able to afford the house anymore.
Because he sunk all his time and money into this update of the Snorks.
That'll get him.
Can I ask you guys a question about my enemy?
You may.
So my enemy is a CPA. I know this because he has a...
You've been rooting through his mail.
He has a big sign on his fence that says CPA service.
What is a CPA?
Certified Public Accountant.
Okay.
And we should explain that Jordan keeps his money under his bed, inside his mattress.
I don't trust the banking industry. It's run by lizard people. What are those guys called?
He also calls Jews lizard people.
They're just scaly, forked tongues. That's, you can see why I called them that.
So my enemy is a CPA, and would it make you uncomfortable to go to a CPA who drove a Bentley? Like, wouldn't it feel, doesn't it seem your CPA is making too much money if he's driving a Bentley and also parking it on the street? Or is that a Los Angeles thing? Is it in Los Angeles, is it appropriate for a CPA? Is it like, hey, look, we're all making money here.
Sure. Here's
I feel like if you're an agent or something, you have to have at least you've got to have a car exactly that shows you that people the back of your balls.
Yeah.
But not a CPA.
Yeah.
No.
I'm uncomfortable with people in Los Angeles who drive I'm also uncomfortable with real estate agents that drive very expensive cars. Because I understand that I just feel like anyone who's getting a portion of my money should be driving should be putting forth a modest front. Hey, I don't embezzle. No embezzling here.
Yeah. So, I understand money and saving.
And, you know, I think this is actually a good topic of conversation because we are in the middle of the Max Fund drive, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but I know we are at a time where we are asking, you know, people to contribute. I just want everyone to know I only ride a Razor scooter.
That's true.
I do not own a car.
Yeah.
Jesse, actually, I have a little...
You Razor scoot over here from West Hollywood.
Yeah. I start at 8 in the morning. Yeah. And I get hurt a lot.
You actually spend a lot of money on shoes.
Yeah.
Because of the distance you travel.
Yeah,
on
I roll my ankles a lot, so like ace bandages. Here's what I think you should do.
Yeah.
Don't look at this as an enemy. Look at this guy as just maybe a potential friend that you don't see eye to eye with yet. And foresee a future where, you know, You're all together, you know, you and Teresa and him and his 19-year-old Asian wife. You know, you're out back, you're having a barbecue, and you're laughing about the time,
that I took a shit on his Bentley, because I already did take a shit on his Bentley.
Explain. Here's what you do.
We should have known that before you.
Be the bigger man. You go up to his house. Maybe don't bring a casserole. Maybe bring a gram of Coke.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking what you know, bring a gram of Coke.
CPA type stuff.
Yeah, and like a jet ski.
Right.
And then, you know,
gram
you just
of Coke
say,
and a Sea-Doo.
Sure, exactly. And then, you know, he'll invite you in for a bump.
A bump and a do.
Yeah, and you guys can, you can admire his velvet paintings of nude Asian women.
Sure.
And his armless Venus fountain that shoots vodka.
Nude Asian teens.
Yes, nude Asian teens.
And then you might find something there that you can actually relate to him. Like there might be a piece of you in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he might have...
like one of my toenails or fingernails that he got out of my garbage. Is that what you're just saying?
You're just assuming that both of you are going through each other's garbage.
Maybe he does a podcast.
Oh.
Maybe he has a sex dungeon.
You know,
that is a sex dungeon.
That's a good point. He probably does do a podcast. He is in Los Angeles, and there are precious few of us left who don't have podcasts.
Do you think maybe you're this guy's enemy? Do you think maybe he has noticed little details about your life and he's over there fuming about?
I am always walking past his house.
You insist on walking past his house
literally once
a
day.
Tiny scared dogs.
Yeah, my little scruffy
dogs. Your pussy
dogs.
That don't know how to drive.
Flaunting their haunches in front of his hungry, hungry German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You might as well be walking a little roast chicken.
Driving around my 2004 car, bringing down the property values.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I got to find out. You got to show me. Point it out to me. I want to walk past. I'm very curious.
It's a pretty intense situation. But seriously, right? Who parks a Bentley on the street? Who is that person? Who is the person that parks a Bentley? Who is it?
Yeah, no, I think...
Who doesn't garage their Bentley?
I think this is probably just some guy who clearly peaked in the 80s.
My accountant...
He's probably got a white sport coat.
Couldn't think of his name.
Don Johnson?
Big description.
Fucking Don Johnson.
It's Don Johnson.
See, it wasn't even that good either.
No, I think it was good. If you pulled out Don Johnson...
If he was... Like, this was his... you know, done. Becoming a CPA after having that career is not a bad...
Absolutely. That's, you got to have a fallback.
That, yeah. Oh, my, absolutely. Like, you know he spent all of his money on jackets and cocaine.
Rob, you're a notary on the side, right?
I am a notary, yeah, a little good. Bit. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's
a, I
that's
took
a
an
great,
oath. I mean, took an oath.
Yeah.
Donnie J was at the Nash Bridges rap party signing people up for the CPA biz.
Yeah. He's like...
I need a couple clients. You know what I mean? Well, hey, Cheech, you need somebody to keep track of the accounts on that Mexican-American Chicano art collection you've got going? I'm your man. I got a Bentley. I got a couple Stangs. For practical reasons,
Jesse,
I have a matte black Mini Cooper.
Don't call it a Stang.
What?
Just don't call it a Stang.
Yeah, can we cut that? Can we cut that?
Yeah, it's not in line with Ford.
Who does your audio?
I got a couple.
Casper?
I got
what's the guy's name that does your audio?
Yeah, it's Casper.
Casper, can you
Casper
cut that
Van Dien.
I got a couple musties in the driveway.
Musties.
There you go.
No, we can't.
Oh, they don't like musty?
I have a feeling they're not going to like musty.
If they don't like Stang, they're not going to like musty. Like it musty. Makes it seem like it smells inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mustards.
It smells like mustard.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to have enemies, but I feel like he put it on my plate.
Have you ever
now
seen
I gotta
the guy?
Eat it.
You don't actually have an enemy yet. You have a guy.
I haven't.
Hate.
I've seen some sort of 22-year-olds walking around there that I think are his grown. I think it's his grown son. I don't think the 22-year-old is the accountant.
No,
that kid couldn't be right. Right? He couldn't have four cars. I have seen like
no.
A guy who's definitely not older than 25, but he's definitely an adult.
Any other piece of the puzzle that you're leaving out? Because I feel like there's just one thing that's going to make all of this make sense.
Is there a German Shepherd tethered in the backyard?
The German Shepherd lives in a shed out back. There's like one of those tool sheds that's maybe 3 feet deep, and I can tell the German Shepherd lives in there because it has a bowl of kibble in it. It's not a doghouse. They just went and bought a tool shed. It's not even shaped like a doghouse. It's not shaped. It's wildly inappropriate to be a doghouse.
Now it sounds like you've got a rear window situation with this guy, Jesse. Yeah.
I walk past his house when I'm walking my dogs every day.
And he just happens to be where your telescope is set up.
He leaves his house every day. It's between 7:01 and 7:10.
Goal of this asshole.
He has one of those. He also has one of those giant front doors. You know what I'm talking about? Where the front door is like 14 feet tall. And you're
so
like, give me a fucking break.
How tall do you think you are?
Is that a sign of like arrogance?
Yes,
like,
it is.
That's so I never, ever would have considered
I
that.
I would say either A, I'm that tall, or B, I'm such a cool guy, Manute Bol could come over at any second.
Or like, this house is too awesome.
No,
to
it's like having a white grand piano. Having one of those giant front doors, it's
got
the same
it.
As having a white grand piano.
Well, if you don't
this
have a white
a
grand piano, what do you do blow off of? I mean, if you're a modern asshole, you do it off your iPad.
I do it off one of my gold or platinum records.
Oh, okay.
Personally.
Right.
I produced Bob Newhart's The Button Down Mind.
I know. I love your stuff.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you very much.
I mean, that is so crisp. It is just so you can hear it's just
I also
crisp.
Did Von Meter's The First Family.
I'm
that's how
fan.
I really made my
yeah,
money. The
I'm
First Family,
fan.
Von Meter, famous presidential impressionist until of course the great tragedy.
I'm listening.
John F. Kennedy, may he rest in peace.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant when the hotel exploded during that impressionist convention.
We'll be back in
the
just
9/11
a second.
Of impressionist conventions.
The day the impressions died.
Can I you know what? Instead of going to break right now, I'm going to make this an action item. Course of action for Jesse with what should I do about this situation and why? Okay? Because I know that people besides me have a lot more experience living in what you might call neighborhoods where people own houses, and I've never lived somewhere that's not in the inner city before. Silver Lake, where I lived for a year, was not in the inner city, but I've never lived not in an urban environment before. And so I know you're supposed to be enemies with certain people in your neighborhood. I know that from our friend Al Madrigal, but I don't know exactly which, I don't know how to handle it. So if you have a suggestion or if you've had a really good situation where you had an enemy in your neighborhood, you handled it in a really particularly effective way. Like, you know, you lit a bag of shit on fire and put it on their thing, and then they
you
got shit on their...
You called her a cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You had your wife do it.
Whatever it is, if your neighbor actually killed your dog, so either advice for me or an amazing conflict with your neighbor, 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. 206-984-4FUN. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Corddry, celebrity to the stars.
Oh, Rob Corddry from the smash hit television program Children's Hospital. A smash hit, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, no one thought it was going to be the movement it has become.
Millions of people. Literally millions of people.
Literally.
I'm not making millions. That up, right? Literally millions, right?
Yeah,
like,
we've
like
got
3 million or something.
No. 3
2
is,
million?
We've got, our biggest night was approaching 2, yeah.
That is unfucking believable. And that's
like what things on NBC gets.
Yeah. That's at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Cartoon Network and shit.
For 11 minutes. But yeah. I think that's part of it, too. Like, it's, you know, all of the fucking people that watch that network watch it.
Yeah.
So that's good. You know?
Well, what you've done is the thing that you've done that is the truly amazing is that you've created something that people who like comedy and people who like The Family Guy like. The people, the two things, the Family
Guy,
I'm underselling the Family Guy has a lot of stuff going for it. The Family Guy's got a lot of good jokes on it in a typical episode.
Tons of good jokes.
But it's the formula for that network has always been, well, people love The Family Guy. If we can just put enough shit in between episodes of The Family Guy that keeps our credibility high enough to, you know, so that people don't complain about what it is and whatever, we'll just patch it through. And they've gotten some wonderful programming out of that. But somehow you have managed to motivate. You've managed to not lose any of the credible people and motivate the Family Guy people somehow.
Motivating the Adult Swim people for sure. They want to they have a lot. They're definitely, they are those, you nailed it. Exactly. They're like the, and that's what makes that station or that network so great is because they're just creative people.
Right.
Who love like weird shit.
Sure.
When
I visited there and I met a bunch of people, I was like, man, everybody here is like super cool and nice and like trying to do cool shit. Like not even a single dipshit that I met the entire time.
They're the best. And now they're like, okay, we're going to, around children's, like we want to build a night now around children. It's going to be like a TV network. We're going to have a reality show and a this show and a that and a fake news show and all this. And but they're like, but the problem is, We're just like guys that like to get high and green light shows. So how do you do that?
Rob, we asked Paul Scheer about this, or last time he was here, and I can't remember if it was on mic or off mic, but I will ask you this. Have you guys discussed whether or not Children's Hospital takes place in the same universe as NTSF SDSUV?
Oh, my God.
Colon.
Endlessly.
Oh, well.
Are getting high and greenlighting shows.
Yeah, not endlessly in that, like, we both know that it does not exist in the same world.
Right.
Oh.
It exists, I would think, because it started off as a trailer, a fake trailer, basically.
Yeah, right.
And it breaking up 2 season 1 episodes, that means it exists in the same world that Children's Hospital, the TV show, where I play Cutter Spindell, who plays Dr. Blake Downs, is, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. Right. So your character, the actor who plays the character in Children's Hospital, could watch NTSF SDSUV.
I just did a guest star in NTSF, which is actually something like I wanted to protect it at first and say like we shouldn't do too much crossover because you know I would never say like Hubel can't do NTSF because those guys, you know, their relationship trumps my petty little weirdness.
Right.
But
I mean,
but
sex is the most important.
Yeah. And I would never get in the way of their thing. But yeah, I wanted to like, I didn't want to, I want for both of our sakes, like not to think it was, I wanted to think, feel like 2 separate shows.
So
but
you, did you go
same,
on as Cutter Spindell?
No, I was, see, that's funny.
You would be walking onto the set of a TV show and everyone would have to break character because someone wandered on. Anyway.
I was, I played a character named Agent Coyote and it's like, I have 3 lines, but, he's like a Fox Mulder kind of guy. But it's really like, if you think about it, this is the first time I have, I guess, that was probably Cutter Spindell playing.
Oh.
I should ask for Cutter Spindell to get credit. That would be.
I think. Well, you
gotta be pretty punk rock.
You gotta fucking. You gotta maintain the integrity of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we've learned,
it's
anything,
the only thing we care of the learned, about the continuity of. Yeah. You know,
if
it's
you
the,
can't if you can't make a Wikipedia article for it, it will not be a success in today's media landscape.
Sure,
that's just God's own truth.
Yeah,
people got to be able to make charts and graphs.
Yeah,
you got to enable charts and graphs in today's comedy landscape.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, because nothing really makes sense on the show, and the mythology of it is that, like, it's been around for, we're on season 17 now, and it's the greatest show that ever was, and it's had some hard times. And Erin Hayes, you know, she plays Lola, has been on the show since the 70s, because we did a 70s show. Mm-hmm. But you know, Lake Bell, in our minds, wasn't even born yet. Like, she wasn't even on the show. Of course, right. They're like, you know, 5 years apart in age. But, like, so I want to write a, like, David Lynch sort of episode next season that explains why there are all these sort of temporal...
Like a dream, the dream of an autistic child episode.
So, right. Well, well, at least there's, like, an undercurrent of evil. Right, you know, that, okay. That sort of
so,
like...
Yeah, so is this a portal? Is this a hell mouth? Have you,
you know,
have
I haven't
thought
about
far ahead?
It. I okay, have not yeah. thought about it. I've thought
hell
about it as much as...
Kind of thing.
Hell mouths are good.
Yeah.
I've thought about it as much as David Lynch ever thought about Twin Peaks and what the,
right.
the, what
sure.
the black curtain or behind the red curtain was.
Right.
But, you know, so yeah. But other than that, like, continuity matters not.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the mythology I'm obsessed with.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I think your millions of fans appreciate that. What are we talking about? 3 million?
It might be like a couple hundred that just watch it a lot.
4 or 5 million?
I don't know.
6 million people?
Seven and a half million. 17 and a half million.
Wow.
American Idol. Well, luckily.
Right. Well, you got since you got J-Lo.
Yeah. Since we got J-Lo, the American Idol fans followed.
Right. Right.
We've had
she's got great comedy chops, by the way. I mean, God. You wouldn't think so, but just because like she's done so much great dramatic work, but like it's that commitment.
I will remind you that she was on In Living Color.
And you wouldn't
as a dancer.
You
yes.
wouldn't
but a
know
funny
it.
Dancer.
You wouldn't know it with all the money that she's got, but she really is just Jenny from the Block.
I was thank you so mm-hmm. much because that's true. You think all right, when you think J-Lo, you think ass. You think a
right.
big
sure.
a big,
juicy,
just fat, fun,
perfect,
round, fucking
beautiful,
bulbous, light brown, like
yeah.
fragrant, fragrant, yeah. yeah.
Soft.
What were we
like?
I had a point to make.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, her ass is great.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just
how about
a second.
That Christina Hendricks from Mad Men?
Hey, you got us back. You got us back.
Perfect.
Oh, that
bulbous.
Tits and
fragrant.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessica. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Corddry, celebrity of the stars. To the stars.
First of all.
They both work.
Of the, to the.
Yeah.
First of all, yeah. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Ask Metafilter.
Absolutely.
Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com.
Like Yahoo Answers, but not dumb.
Yeah,
it is, the, is that their slogan?
I think that is not their slogan. I'm going to call Matt Howey and suggest that to them.
Like Yahoo Answers, but with less zwinkies.
Wait, what is a zwinky?
Is it's like a little anime avatar that you do of yourself.
Yeah,
a
no
zwinky.
Ask Metafilter is genuinely one of my favorite websites in the entire world. It is. I mean, if you know how Yahoo Answers or any of these questions, any of these websites where people ask a question and people answer it, work. It works like that. Only it actually does work. Like people give great answers to the questions, and people ask in good and interesting questions. To the point where I actually subscribe to the RSS feed of the questions, just because a lot of times something will come along and I'll be like, "Huh, I wonder what is the answer to that," and I'll learn something. Ask Metafilter. Ask.metafilter.com. Also, up on the Jumbotron this week, make the photo photo.com. Make the Photo explains photography and photo gear in simple terms. Whether you want to finally learn how to take photos in manual mode, or you want your next piece of gear or you want to find your next piece of gear with their review database, you can check out Make the Photo. MakeThePhoto.com.
That sounds like a lovely website.
Yeah, right.
Something our audience would be interested in.
Up there on the Jumbotron. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, it's MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. If you want to sponsor an episode of any of our podcasts, email Teresa@MaximumFun.org. TheresaMaximumFun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Corddry, celebrity to the stars.
You know, we've been talking about your hit television program, Children's Hospital, Rob. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I've watched a lot of episodes of Children's Hospital. Maybe I missed Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson. I don't know. I guess I have this memory, okay. And you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I have this memory of
my friend Rob Corddry.
I'm listening
from television, film, and movies. Mm-hmm. Saying some of them
involving Kumar.
If his hit show became a hit show, if his hit internet show became a hit television show, he would definitely promise to write the characters Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson into the script for the show, which he is the primary writer of, one of the primary writers.
Uh-huh.
So I guess my friend Rob would have the power to do that. But it's weird because I've watched a lot of episodes of the show and I haven't seen those characters. So now I'm thinking, like, am I misremembering that? I just don't know.
I owe you not just an apology,
right,
but an explanation. I have a
standards and practices.
I have a note here. Yeah, they say no, you can't say Dipson. And without Dipson, it doesn't work.
Right, sure.
I have in my notes, notesy.
Rob's holding up his
iPhone. Notesy app. I have just funny names.
We should explain, by the way, that an iPhone is like a Windows. It's a sort of a lot like a Windows phone.
Yeah, but for the Macintosh operating system.
If you've seen a Zune software running on a phone, it's sort of like that. They have their own version of it called iTunes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's the same sort of thing. Windows. It's just basically a copy of Windows, right?
Right.
Yeah. And this in a smaller. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a list of names here, and whenever I need a name for a character, I go to it.
And when you make a note of these funny names? Obviously some of them come from hilarious podcasts, but like the other names, is it just things you think of or people that you
things
meet
I think of things names? I think of, and then sometimes one of these is terrible. Sometimes I actually sit down with it and try and think up some funny names. David Wayne does this as well. David Wayne and Ken Marino are funny name geniuses.
Oh, yeah.
And they recently just welcomed me to the club. But I read my database of names. And I want to tell you that...
This is a treat. Rob, just so you know, my favorite genre of comedy are funny names, a funny list of names or words.
It's coming back, right?
This is a treat.
Okay. My number one favorite genre of comedy is probably pun-based names of hair salons, but my number two favorite genre of comedy is lists of names.
This list will be a cut above the rest.
Already.
I got him. Right in your wheelhouse.
Jeez Louise.
Dominic Nomsen. this is one. Mike Graston. It's just a normal...
Yeah, no, that's believable.
It's a C+.
Yeah,
it's
like
C+.
A guy you would maybe
this
buy
is a good
a
one.
Shed from.
Put your German Shepherd in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a dog shed.
Dent Paulson.
Oh!
Good one. Marnie Face from. Cunny Feffin. Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson.
Lovely.
Right,
it's
there.
On the list.
They're waiting friends. To go.
Sure.
Right. Ready to go.
In the right. chamber.
And the last two, not mine, of course. You'll probably, you have a Def Jam book over there. I can, so you yeah. probably know where this comes from. I want to name a character Jazz and AWOL.
Sure. Nah. That's pretty good.
But Chip Dipson, and you can't just waste Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson
before your show gets canceled.
Anything. The clock is ticking. You're like, just get it in there.
You gotta save him indefinitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to do it. You can't just do one of those.
That's
you know?
True.
No, you're right.
You
no,
have to have a pair
and
of this, characters.
I think that is a and that is a totally reasonable explanation. And that, like, I was prepared to be angry, but after hearing that funny list, and yeah. then I mean, I feel honored that those names are even in the same iPhone as Dent Poulsen.
Dent Poulsen.
Dent Poulsen.
Maybe that's Dent. Those are Dent Poulsen's friends.
How do you spell me? How do you spell Poulsen?
I believe P. I don't even have to. I was about to look it up. P O H L S O N.
Right.
Yeah.
Dent Poulsen.
Yeah.
If you need a ladies one, may I suggest?
Go ahead.
Kelly Shunt.
Oh, that's great.
Great.
Love Shunt.
Oh, hey. By the way, Jordan.
What?
On the subject of collecting on old debts.
Right.
We have been giving our audience Jordan Jesse Go absolutely for free for over 215 episodes.
That's crazy.
That is, we're looking at 400 hours of free entertainment just on Jordan Jesse Go. Mm-hmm. That's to say nothing of Bullseye, Judge John Hodgman, Throwing Shade, Stop Podcasting Yourself, My Brother and Me, the Casper Hauser Comedy Podcast, Coil and Sharp, The Imposters, The College Years, all of these amazing MaximumFun.org podcasts, all absolutely 1,000% for free. However, they cannot and do not exist unless people out there pay for them. Mm-hmm. This is our fucking model. This is our model. Our model is we live in the age of the internet where people steal everything from the internet anyway, and they say, well, I'll support it, blah, 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 and da, 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 da. Okay, great. This is what we've done. We've cut out the middleman. You don't have to steal it. We put everything on the internet 100% for free. If you think it's worth listening to, it's worth paying for.
Right. You're right. You're right.
It's pretty sure. straightforward.
I agree with you.
Here's the deal.
That's why I'm a part of the organization.
We've got people. We've got people who already donate. We have literally more than 1,000 people who already mm-hmm. donate every month to support MaximumFun.org. And dozens of them in the past couple of days have gotten together to issue a challenge to new donors. So at this point, and we're recording this before the drive even starts, $5 for every new donor will go to MaximumFun.org. Mm-hmm. So not only are we getting your money, we're also getting $5 for every single person who donates. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Absolutely.
MaximumFun.org/donate is where you go. Look, we've got this huge pile of amazing thank you gifts. We've got a bonus episode of Jordan Jesse Go and a bonus episode of Throwing Shade and My Brother and Me and Stop Podcasting Yourself that you can download only if you're a Maximum Fun donor. All these thank you gifts, all this stuff is great.
Yeah.
Ultimately, in my opinion, at the end of the day, the question is, do you like the show? If you do, then pay for it. Right?
Why wouldn't you?
No. You got...
Well, yeah, listen. You get an episode with Chris Fairbanks where shit gets real. I don't know. I feel like that's the selling point. I was there when we were taping the episode. I was in it. Shit got real. You need to listen to this.
The reality is this. You know, we set it up so it comes out in, you know, a few bucks a month out of your bank account. It's not a huge deal. It's not going to break the bank for you. It's going to be very easy. And the only thing that you're going to notice is the warm feeling of pride every time you listen to a Maximum Fun podcast and know, hey, I'm part of that. I consumed it, and then I helped pay for it because that's the honorable and decent thing to do.
Yeah, and maybe at some point in the future, people who represent people who buy ads for corporations will know that podcasts exist and that they have an audience. But right now, they do not. no one knows that, and perhaps there's a beautiful future somewhere down the line where we get a fraction of the money that that networks get for branded content or something like that. But right now, everyone who doles out that money is old. They have Bentleys parked outside, And yeah, so it's really, really tremendous that you guys are paying for this because no one else does.
Yeah, I mean, for me what it comes down to is I would rather make content for the audience than make content for advertisers. And we do, you know, we have the Jumbotron where we, you know, share people's, you know, looking for roommates and stuff, you know, occasionally somebody's Kickstarter project, you know, we have little advertisements here and there on the shows, but it's a small part of our model because at the end of the day, what we don't want is to have to make something that is a vehicle for selling other people's products. Ultimately, if I'm going to sell anything to anyone, I want it to be the entertainment that I make. Like, I want people to think, this is a thing that's valuable to me, it's worth some money.
To be fair, we do feel very strongly about the Windows Phone and the Windows platform in general.
But sadly, we do not get paid for that.
We should! We say it in hopes that someday we'll get paid.
So anyway, it's MaximumFun.org/donate. The time to do it right now. We've only come to you once a year for the 6 or so years that we've been doing this. And every year I am like gobsmacked by the number of people who step up to the plate and allow us to do this. I mean, you know, we've gone from me having a real job and sort of desperately scrambling to book guests on The Sound of Young America in my free time to all of these shows, a staff, a place to do this. I mean, look, we still record this in my house, but the reality is that more than 50% of the real estate in this real estate is now taken up by MaximumFun.org. You know, like, and it's great because it means that, you know, Nick White, our editor on Bullseye, can come and do this. You know, Julia Smith, the producer of Bullseye, comes and works here with us. You know, we have interns working here. You know, my wife Teresa works here.
It's, and these guys have to pay me too. I mean, it's like these guys, you got a lot of,
it's like a protection.
Interesting people that
have a pretty big
come on the show.
You've got a pretty serious.
Well, I mean,
quote.
This is what I get for podcasts. I get 15 grand for podcasts. And, you know, but that comes directly from you guys. So, you know, if you
worth
want
every penny,
look, I'm going to go through the guest book here. Like this, if you want people like Judge John Hodgman, well, he's on a show.
Right.
He actually, Alison Becker.
Yeah.
Sharing her quotes up between 10 and 15 grand.
Yeah. Becker doesn't show up for less than 15.
Yeah. Oh,
she doesn't do a good job for less than 20.
Eric Wareheim, man of the people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Until you want to book him for a podcast.
Yeah. And then when the money comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when the shit gets really
real. He has a lot of
demands,
too.
Speaking of shit
too.
Getting real. Mm-hmm. But look, you don't have to take our word for it. I want to take you to a friend of ours, a listener to the program, a Max Funster, who's been one of our biggest supporters for many years, Rebecca, and she's gonna tell you about why she supports Maximum Fun.
I remember listening to Jordan Jesse Go, and there was just a good sense of community amongst people who liked the same things, were interested in the same things, had a similar sense of humor. It had a very warm and cozy feel that really drew me to it. Hi, I'm Rebecca O'Malley. I'm a donor to MaximumFun.org. I was thinking a lot about independent media and what it meant to me to have a show that I really liked that was so specifically attuned to my interest and how much I valued that. And so that was an important part of my decision. It's been wonderful just within my lifetime to see this whole area of media pop up where people are creating very specific work that can appeal directly to the things that you're interested in. It's wonderful to have, but it's also very fragile. The only way that you can see it continuing is if people care enough to support it.
Support Maximum Fun today. Just visit MaximumFun.org/donate. Thank you. It's that easy. MaximumFun.org/donate, right?
Yes, you are right. Jesse, you're correct.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Corddry, celebrity to the stars.
You know, when something momentous happens to you in your life, we ask that you give us a call at 206-984-4. FUN and share it with us for a segment we like to call Momentous Occasions. Why do we like to call it that? Name of the fucking segment. That's why.
Yeah, why would we call it something else? It would be confusing.
It would baffle people. Mm-hmm. It would be quite the conundrum. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesse and Jordan insist on calling the Momentous Occasions segment that when it's something else, when it's the Momentous Occasions segment?
Were all those scarves in my butt? We would be some fucking lying magicians if we changed the name of the segment. We would be some dirty, lying, sexy magicians.
I suddenly want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
It happens. It happens.
Wow.
It starts out.
Wow. It works. It works.
I've got this
Just give me a solid 45 minutes.
I've got this.
I will go from slightly distasteful to totally fuckable in 45 minutes. That's my guarantee.
I've got this call in front of me, and I don't know what it is, but it's labeled P-Trio. So I'm guessing P-Trio is going to cool you down, Rob.
Okay.
Sexually.
Really?
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and the guest and or guests. This is Eric from Antioch. I am on Highway 24 approaching the Caldecott Tunnel, and it's in the middle of the pouring rain, and I just saw a car pull over on the side of the road. One guy jumped out, didn't hide behind the door, ran right up onto the embankment in full view of all of the stop-and-go traffic, and started peeing. And then another guy ran up right next to him and started doing the same thing. And then a third guy jumped out of the car, ran up, and started doing the same thing. And so there were these three guys all doing the kind of hello, 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 peeing all next to each other, right out in full view of everybody in the middle of the rain. Thank you.
Yeah, there's only one reasonable explanation.
Well, I think what it is it's viral marketing for the Three Stooges movie.
I was going to guess.
It's like a flash mob.
I was going to guess our friend Charlie Todd was involved.
That's
and there was an improv everywhere.
Oh, okay, sure.
You know, just bringing a little magic into people's lives.
I was distracted because I can't. I mean, if you're in Antioch and you're going towards the Caldecott Tunnel, like,
right.
You should not be talking on your phone, even on Bluetooth,
right?
Yeah,
because it gets slick there,
right?
You know
the area,
yeah, and it's an older route and it's tight. I mean,
growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, not all that far from Antioch and the Caldecott Tunnel, I remember listening to radio. I used to listen to a lot of sports radio as a kid, and they would have that traffic report, and it would just be a list of places and freeways that I had never heard of in my entire life. Because I think when you live in, you know, when you live within the bounds of the primary city of a region, you just don't have, like, someone who lives in Antioch has a reason to go to San Francisco, but someone who lives in San Francisco doesn't have a reason to go to Antioch. So, like, I knew some...
What if you want to get into a car accident?
Like, I knew some things about Oakland and Berkeley, but that's about it, you know, in terms of other places in the Bay Area. And I thought, well, maybe that's just because I was a kid or something like that. And then I moved to Los Angeles, and all Los Angeles is a list of places that I am unfamiliar with. Like, that is the defining characteristic of this Southern California region, is people going on the radio and just listing things that I've never heard of. The 1292 is backed up today. You know, we've got... It is insane.
Costa Mesa.
Yeah.
Huntington Beach.
Just, I don't know what any of these Turkington. You know, go, oh, yeah, the 429 is backed up near Turkington. Like, what? Is that even something?
Yeah, I mean, it's where county fairs are.
Right.
These are county fair communities.
I once went to the county fair in Los Angeles my first year when I moved to Los Angeles before I learned about the don't try and do things in Los Angeles rule. And it literally took us 2.5 hours to drive to the county fair.
But to be fair, the LA County Fair is nowhere near Los Angeles. County Fair is like super duper inland.
And then once we parked, it took us an hour to get from where we parked to the fair. And we parked in the parking for the fair. I don't even know. What is that?
Yeah, it's the fair.
Where's the...
I mean, you know, how are you going to get fried cheesecake? You get a fried cheesecake at home? You can't do that.
Yeah, where else are you going to wear your headbands?
Why do you think I bought that turkey fryer?
Sure.
Got to fry a whole cheesecake in there. You fry cheesecakes whole, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, you got to debone them first.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Gabby from New York City. My friend just told me that she has a friend who's from Nepal and is a devout Hindu. And in Nepalese Hinduism, it's really important to be monogamous, so you can't get divorced or remarry anyone or have other wives. But when this boy was born, astrologers predicted that he would marry three times. So his family panicked, and I guess to trick the Hindu gods, they married him to a tree. So he had to invite all his relatives from all over the country, and they watched him perform elaborate Hindu wedding rites with a tree. But the best part is that he still has to get married to another tree before he can marry a woman. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
Now, this is almost certainly a penguin in the pants. I'll say that first.
Rob, for you, a penguin in the pants is a fake call.
Yeah.
Or a put-on, a string-along, a wind-up, as they might say in England.
She sounds credulous. Mm-hmm. I think that she believes what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. But someone has put a penguin in her pants.
There's just too many, there's a penguin in this young woman's pants right now. Mm-hmm. However, that point aside, that's fucking delightful.
Sure.
I like how it combines elements of like charming, magical realism and xenophobia.
Sure. I think what we've learned from all this is that all of the Hindu gods are clearly girls because they're so easily tricked.
Right.
You just pull a quarter out of Ganesh's ear and she'll fuck you.
Can I just say that?
Is that Ganesh? Am I racist? Is that the right one? That's a Hindu god.
I don't keep track of it. Yeah, I think there could be.
I don't care about that stuff.
The only thing
other cultures, more trouble than they're worth.
The only thing I'm really up to date on is Zoroaster.
Mm-hmm.
So if it ain't Zoroaster, you know what they say. You're gonna poison that dog.
Poison that dog and kill it.
I want to congratulate our callers. By the way, I used to have to say on every show, keep it pithy. Our callers have been consistently pithy for the last few months.
Sure.
These are nice, tight, taut calls. These are
just
like
light brown, just bulbous, fragrant, just like fucking J-Lo's ass and a pair of fucking Daisy Dukes.
America's radio sweetheart, boy detective, and super fantastic guest. I have a momentous occasion that I have to share with you at this moment. I'm driving in rush hour traffic on my way home from work, and I look to my right, and there is an amputee from the knee down riding a bicycle with no shirt on with a giant Punisher skull tattoo covering his entire back. Not only is he pedaling his bike with one leg, but he has an entire Punisher tattoo covering his whole back. This guy is amazing. All right, guys. Love you. Bye.
That is awesome.
We love you too.
Actually, that is that guy. That's my manager.
My roofer might be calling.
Oh,
let's hold for Jordan's roofer.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Nelson. Oh no! You know, I'm sorry. I already found somebody. Thank you very much. Bye bye. I left a message with a lot of other roofers before I found one. That
Casper, keep that in.
Yeah.
Keep that in before you make the new Starship Troopers movie. Because that is good stuff.
There is an element of badassery to everyone who overcomes a physical disability.
Mm-hmm.
My father's best friend when I was growing up was a disability rights advocate named Ed. And Ed was actually, for anyone out there who's a disability rights advocate nerd, Ed Roberts. I wrote a thing about Ed one time, and somebody emailed me and said that they attended UC Berkeley because they were inspired by Ed's example. Ed was, among other things, when he first went to college, which was at the end of the 50s, beginning of the 60s, he and his mom, Zona, who's still around, had to fight to get a dorm that could accommodate his iron lung, because he had polio as a kid. He was one of the last polio cases, you know, the end of the polio epidemic in the early 50s. and or late 40s, early 50s. And so he was almost completely paralyzed. He could move. He could basically, when I knew him, he could basically move himself from the neck up in one of his fingers. And so he would drive his chair with his finger, and then he had to have a breathing machine to breathe, and he could, you know, talk and stuff with help from the machine. And so anyway, Ed and Zona had to fight to get UC Berkeley to accommodate his disability. It was one of the first disability accommodations, basically, by a public organization of any kind, was UC Berkeley essentially taking a wing of a dorm and turning it into a hospital so that they could put in an iron lung so that Ed could go to college, because Ed was super badass and precocious. But the thing that I remember the most about Ed is that when Ed would get...
Incredible Hulk tattoo. Yeah,
was that he had the longest pull list at his local comic book store.
No.
Just no. Ed would get into fights with people. And it was really funny because he would yell. He would get in screaming matches, but he was on a breathing machine, so he had to suck in his air from this thing that hung by. So he would be like, yell, yell, yell. Yell, 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 yell. And then also, if he was still having a fight with somebody, like, he could be kind of a dick, frankly. But, like, if he was really getting into a fight with someone, he would run over them with his wheelchair. Like,
wow.
He had this huge electric wheelchair, and if somebody was fucking with him, or, like, just disrespecting him or whatever, just not, you know... Like, he just was like, you know what, I'm like this, so you fucking deal with it, was basically his attitude. And if anybody gave him any shit, he just fucking either run into them or over them with his giant, like, 2,000-pound electric wheelchair. So anyway, I'm super inspired by the badassery of...
I know this guy. He had an accident when he was a kid. He lived in New York, and he was blinded. And yeah. But as part of this accident, he got super hearing and super sensory abilities.
Which Marvel character he'd have a tattoo of.
That's so funny. Well, he became a superhero,
right?
Named Daredevil, and he wears a red.
This guy
of,
Matt.
Yeah, Matt Murdock. Yes, he's a lawyer. It's rumored that he's Daredevil. It's like, but so it's another example of someone that
that is amazing.
Has a has sort of triumphed.
Now this, yeah. I actually have a buddy too, Bruce Banner, yeah. He's a scientist, and he has the fucking biggest green dick. I mean,
so wait, he triumphed over being a scientist.
Oh, yeah, that was his disability, was being a scientist.
His disability was the dick. Go ahead.
It's just tough. Like, people ask about it. He can't wear shorts.
Yeah. We'll be back.
I could do this all day, by the way. Yeah.
Jordan, Jesse, go. Jordan, Jesse, go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Cordry, celebrity to the stars.
Rob, as ever, it has been the greatest of delights. There are two perfect delights for me in this world. One.
The 65 Mustang.
The sleek, stylish, the powerful.
Oh, the satisfying rumble of that engine.
One is to have you on Jordan, Jesse, Go. The other is the perfect gooseberry. Those two things.
Sure.
Those are the two things that make me happier than anything else. It has been a joy to have you on the program.
I love doing it.
We are looking forward to watching the next season of Children's Hospital.
August 9th, I believe.
August 9th.
Season 4.
This show will be on the Comedy Channel.
Adult Swim.
The Comedy Channel,
sure,
right?
Sure.
The Paramount Comedy Channel.
Yep.
That correct?
You are the old man in the neighborhood. That's why you hate that. You're on the Comedy Channel.
You're on the Comedy Channel, correct?
No, you're on the Dumont Network.
Now, are you on this on the WGN Superstation?
Yes.
You are on the Superstation.
Yes, channel 245.
That your show comes on after a Seinfeld night. Rerun.
UHF. For the kids. That's what for the guys.
Also, I was...
if only your show was as funny as UHF.
I was delighted to read in the industry press that you will be appearing in this Lennon Garant film that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
When I mean by soon, I mean it's just been announced, so I'm guessing in roughly a year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have to make it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to New Orleans for a month to make it with those guys, and it's their first directorial project too, so it's great.
And so our hope is that this will be every bit as good as Night at the Museum 2.
It's basically the same story structure,
right?
With just less dinosaur skeletons, running around.
That Night at the Museum has been on FX a lot. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I've never seen. It's pretty funny. Museum. I think I would probably laugh.
At Owen Wilson's a little cowboy.
He's a teeny tiny cowboy.
Is Owen Wilson back in movies now?
He's in Midnight in Paris,
full sized.
Was that since the unfortunate incident?
Yes.
Wilson's back. I loved Midnight in Paris, not because it was a perfect film, but just because I think I was so happy to spend some time with Owen Wilson
and Woody Allen.
You're
like, oh, thank goodness. Sure. Every once in a while, there's a soothing balm in between. Train wrecks. That you're like, oh,
that's what
God.
He does. He gives
I'm
you a
not
soothing
crazy.
Bomb, and then crashes a train
exactly.
into you.
But here's the
starring
thing.
Larry David
with Woody Allen. Like, I have to admit that I, outside of the fact that, you know, you're these women that Woody Allen would like to see naked are roughly the same ones that I would like to see naked.
Yeah.
Like, outside of that, I haven't really enjoyed his theoretically good, not funny movies recently. Your Match Point and Vicky Cristina Barcelona, I thought was particularly stupid.
I liked them, but I think maybe I wouldn't argue with you too much, only because I think just because they weren't fucking shitty.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I watched them. They were the first
they weren't
two that
Curse
I watched.
Of the Jade Scorpion.
Exactly. What was the one about the heist?
Oh, I kind of liked that one.
That's the first movie I ever watched.
Small Time Crooks.
Small Time Crooks is the only first movie I ever walked out of.
Oh, funny. Yeah, oh, actually, one of the only movies I've ever walked out of was, the Larry David one.
Oh, really?
Whatever works.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah,
no. I've given up on
it. It was walkout bad
to
me.
Seeing them at all, unless
not even Michael McKean could save it. That guy's great.
I did kind of like Small Time Crooks.
Wow.
Just gotta love it. Well,
you're
there.
A huge Rappaport fan, though, Michael Rappaport.
I do like Rappaport.
You love Rappaport.
But wait, you like
Rappaport?
You claim to like Rappaport, but you've never seen Deep Blue Sea.
That's true.
That's a
he's
fucking...
saving it. No, because he's saving it.
Oh,
he's,
yeah, you're right.
He's hoarding it.
For you and Teresa's 10th anniversary, you're going to watch Deep Blue Sea.
Why won't you let me do the Michael Rappaport podcast? I keep pitching it, and you're like, it seems like you'd be the perfect guy to produce
here's
that.
The thing. Like, I know it's one of those things where I feel like I'm too close to it to really be able to produce it effectively. Mm. Just because I would literally have a hard time moving the keyboard and mouse because of my arousal.
So you wouldn't... Yeah, I understand. It would probably be a nightmare for me.
You know, Michael Rappaport
Rappaport on this podcast, or is it just you two talking
about
Michael Rappaport?
Yeah, talking about
Michael Rappaport was on The Sound of Young America last year to talk about his excellent documentary about A Tribe Called Quest, which I really
I heard it's
recommend.
Great, actually.
It's really excellent.
Yeah.
And
I don't even know how we ended up making fun of Michael Rappaport.
Amazing,
he's really not worthy of any...
Name him Rappaport stinker. Can't do it. No,
what's amazing about Michael Rappaport is he's one of those guys where you meet him and he is exactly...
Yeah.
What you think he would be.
I used to live...
Exactly.
I used
There's
to live near
no
him.
There's no curveball at all.
I used to live near him because I'd see him on the street every once in a while. I lived in an area where there was actually a walking street in L.A. And he would walk... And he's these two little boys, and they'd be walking down the street. One of them said something to my daughter, who was like two or three at the time. He goes, ha! Look at... Daddy, that little girl is doing something or whatever. And he goes... Yo, little two. That was it.
Sure, putting them in their place.
Yeah. He wasn't going to let him get away with that.
I had so much fun talking to Michael Rappaport because it was like talking to Michael Rappaport.
Sure.
That's why.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was totally amazing. And I cannot if you ever get the chance to meet Michael Rappaport. I can't recommend it enough. It's really a delight. I mean, I wouldn't put it on the Luis Guzman level.
Well, that's unfair. It's a Rappaport.
Yeah, but it's right up there with that.
Yeah,
anyway,
different.
The moral of the story here, Rob, is that it's been great to have you on the show. And anybody who doesn't watch Children's Hospital is really missing out because it's one of the funniest things that there is. It's just fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
Through and through. Just so much crazy nonsense happens on that television
and
program.
Thank you for letting me come on and, like, and, you know, promote it, because I feel like you guys, we all share a sensibility, and your audience is a perfect place to
talk about it.
Oh, Rock, I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I think it's okay. If I haven't, I'm sorry it's taken me this long. We officiated I officiated a wedding for some listeners.
I remember.
And
this was right after my last my last podcast here, and
I had not met before flew me out to St. Louis to officiate their wedding. It was a huge honor.
Right.
Between the ceremony and the reception, we had to go back to their house because they had forgotten to TiVo Children's Hospital.
Wow.
And that was on their minds on their wedding day.
Wow.
So, anyway. So, that's, yes.
I mean, that's a doomed marriage, but that is
Don't have kids.
I could not appreciate that more, but that's never going to work out.
Mm-mm.
But thank you.
Yeah.
That
strangers.
Is beautiful. That is just beautiful. I'll tell you, the wedding that I officiated for listeners was, I think, somewhat, I get the impression from you describing your wedding to me, maybe mine was a little bigger and fancier, a little bit more, you know, and that's probably why you would pick me, because I got a tuxedo.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so
you're gonna look
you're
good.
Not having to rent a tux.
You're going to look good.
Yeah, I'm gonna class it up.
Yeah,
I got classy mode.
You know how to rock a pocket square.
I got a classy mode. And so it was a super classy wedding, a beautiful setting, wonderful family. I'd say 125 people there, just wonderful, kind people. You know, everybody's crying and has tears in their eyes, and then at the end of it. Everybody took pictures with the giant guns from Gears of War.
the guy who officiated works for Microsoft, so he has access to replicas of the Lancer from Gears of War.
Sure, the giant guns from. I was proud of myself for remembering that it's called Gears of War, but thank you for showing me up there, Jordan.
No problem. The Lancer. Yeah, I mean, they didn't have boom shots on hand.
Anyway, we have great wedding memories. Have I mentioned the person who asked if I could officiate their wedding and then took it back?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I'll officiate anybody's wedding. How about you, Jordan?
Yep.
I have to do it in October.
What?
Really? The guy, one of my best friends, the guy that introduced Sandy and I, my wife, wants me to marry him. I'm so nervous. I mean, it's a very, very...
Sure, it's a big responsibility.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'll ask you guys tips and tricks.
Yeah, sure. I got tips and tricks. You know what? Can I tell you something?
Actually, just give me the tips.
You don't want to get pregnant.
First time that joke has ever been made. Go ahead.
Can I give you guys a piece of God's own truth?
Yeah.
When I was getting ready to officiate my wedding, I went on Ask Metafilter.
Yeah.
It really, really helped, except for the one person who suggested wedding vows from Babylon 5.
And before I officiated, I was Shrooman. That's
so
my
both,
advice.
For real?
Both
oh, yeah. No,
really
I wasn't.
Sick.
God, wow. That would have been cool.
Jesus.
I should have. In hindsight, I should have been Shrooman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the deal. This is the closing seconds of this program. If you don't take this opportunity, if you're already a Maximum Fund donor, God bless you.
Sure.
If you want to kick up your donation a notch, you can get some awesome thank you gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And you know, if you give $5 a month or more, you're going to get in your email the address of the bonus content. And if you give $10 a month or more, you're going to get in the mail a friendship bracelet. But if you want to kick it up, you can get access to the special presents. Now, thank you to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's many of our listeners. I'm going to set them aside. If you're not already a donor, take care of business.
Sure.
TCB. be.
Take the wand out of your ass.
Pull out that long strand.
Free those panicky doves.
Get out your checkbook and poison the dog and kill it.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Oh, wait, can that be our call to action for this time? Poison the dog and kill it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Gotta poison that dog and kill it, my friends. MaximumFun.org/donate. Fucking just do it, right? That's the thing. The thing that's standing between you and doing it isn't, it's not about you don't have the money. It's not about you don't like the show because you're listening to the show.
Sure.
It's not about any of those things. You just ain't done it yet. So just fucking do it.
Just do it.
Yeah, why not do it?
I mean, just because I don't do it is not a reason you shouldn't.
Well, you contribute to the organization with your talent.
Yeah. Your good looks.
Your stories about cunts.
Your C-word tales.
We haven't had a lot of cunt stories on. Should we get Cordry?
Cordry. You know what we haven't had?
We haven't had any dick or cunt stories.
No one spun a delightful cunt yarn.
No one said cunt in like two or three episodes. Is Cordry available?
Anyway.
We don't want all the cunts out there to get too confident. We need someone to take them down a peg.
MaximumFun.org/cunt.
We'll
talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.